Behind the Line Extra for your Saturday. I'm your host, KC. Follow me on Twitter at KC_BTL84. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe and the like button. If you're listening on SoundCloud, Stitcher, or any of the other platforms, do the same. Share your opinions in the comments section below. If you think I'm insane, you think I'm full of shit, let me know. I always encourage any and all debate when it comes to the world of sports. Now, it's finally here, our first NFL Sunday of 2019. If you don't have NFL Red Zone, I strongly suggest you add it to your TV package. NFL Red Zone for gamblers is like crack to a crack addict. It's the best 7 hours of sports programming of the week. They do all the work for you, switching between games. All you've got to do is place your bets, sit back in your recliner, sit back on your couch, grab your beer, and relax. Scott Hansen and that crew do a phenomenal job. It's the best 17 weeks of the year with NFL Red Zone. Now, before I get into the five games I'm betting this weekend, I wanted to comment real quick on the Antonio Brown saga in Oakland. Now, I know we talked about this on Thursday, but there's so much shit that's going on between then and now. I mean, it's only been 48 hours, barely. I'm watching SportsCenter last night around midnight, and Scott Van Pelt is talking about the AB saga. And Antonio Brown released a phone call between himself and John Gruden to Instagram. He had a little video playing in the background while he and his coach were talking on the phone. You can go listen to it for yourself. I'm not going to go over everything that was said here because it was pretty long. But what I found interesting was Gruden's reaction and his comments to the release of this private phone call, or what he thought was a private phone call. John Gruden came out and said he found it amusing, acting like, oh, you know, this is no big deal. It's AB being AB. You know, this affects nothing. Everybody's happy. That's bullshit. I don't believe that for a fucking second. I think John Gruden was probably furious about this. Now, first of all, what type of man records a conversation between himself and another man? I don't understand that. I feel like that's some bitch shit. That's something that, you know, a child does. I've lost all respect for Antonio Brown this offseason. And secondly, why is Antonio Brown still on the Raiders 53-man roster? Earlier this week, he was supposed to be suspended. And then yesterday, it comes out that he's going to play on Monday. Everything's all good in Oakland. They're signing, they're singing Kumbaya in the fucking locker room. Everybody's holding hands. And then this morning, Saturday morning, Antonio Brown comes out and basically says, fuck you to the Raiders. I'm not playing on Monday. You took away my $30 million guarantee. You keep fining the shit out of me. So I'm not playing on Monday. Now, I don't understand this. I mean, is this really worth it to John Gruden and the Raiders? I understand Antonio Brown is an otherworldly talent, top two receiver in the NFL. Some might say he's the best receiver in the NFL. I think Michael Thomas is, but that's debatable. I could be being a little bit of a homer there. But is it really worth all of this negative press, the destruction of the morale in your locker room, to keep Antonio Brown around? No! If I'm John Gruden, I'm releasing him. I'm going to Mike Mayock and saying, get this fucking guy out of here. Gruden and the Raiders management has lost all respect in the locker room. There's no way the other 52 guys on that roster can respect these men for acquiescing to Antonio Brown and basically treating him with kid gloves. This fucking guy should have been cut during training camp. Then you say you're going to suspend him, and you back down. You don't. You say he's going to play on Monday, which tells me no one in that Raiders front office has any backbone. Cut your losses and move the fuck on. You're not making the playoffs anyway. Now, enough of that. Let's get to the good stuff. Talk about the stuff that matters, the product, the games on the field. Here are my five plays for this weekend. First game, LA Rams at Carolina, current line, LA Rams minus 2.5. Now, if there's one thing I look for every week in the NFL, it's the home dog. Home dogs are usually money in this league. Another thing I look for is the West Coast teams traveling east and playing in the early game, the 1 p.m. kickoff game. We have both of those factors here in Charlotte on Sunday. Now look, everyone knows the Rams are explosive offensively. Jared Goff's happy guy now, got his extension. He has one of the best running backs in the league, Todd Gurley behind him. An array of talented wide receivers around him. They're explosive offensively, there's no doubt about it. The Rams also have, in my opinion, the best defensive player in the league with Aaron Donald. Yet I really like Carolina in this game. Here's the thing, you know, offenses in the NFL tend to start the season slow. The starters hardly play in the preseason. They really don't develop any kind of a rhythm. They're coming into this game as cold as they're going to be all season. I also feel like Cam Newton's got a lot to prove this year, and Ron Rivera as well. He had a disappointing 2018 where I think he played the majority of the season, if not all of it, hurt. Carolina's super talented, one of the more physical defensive teams in the NFL. Luke Kuechly is an absolute fucking monster. The Rams, more of a finesse team. What's the worst nightmare for a finesse team? A physical defense. This is a huge week one game. It's going to be hot in Charlotte. I think game time temperature is going to be about 92 degrees. I don't think we're going to see the explosive Rams offense that we're accustomed to seeing. I mean, look at Thursday night's game, Aaron Rodgers. Both offenses were abysmal. That was a defensive slugfest. That's typical early season football in the NFL. Now, I'm going to buy the hook here for just the extra insurance. Going to move the line to Carolina +3. I'm going to take Carolina +3. Buffalo Bills at New York Jets, current line, New York Jets -3. Matchup of second-year quarterbacks is Josh Allen and the Bills travel to Jersey, take on Sam Darnold and the Jets. I feel like the Jets made some nice improvements in the offseason. New York struggled in the running game last season. The addition of Le'Veon Bell should shore up that weakness for them. Bell enters the season with a lot to prove. You know, obviously he sat out last season in Pittsburgh over contract disputes. Though Sam Darnold had an up-and-down season, he really finished out strong last year. Pro Football Focus had him as the top-rated quarterback through the final 4 weeks of 2018. I feel like the addition of Jamison Crowder in the slot is going to help Darnold immensely. He really didn't have a lot of weapons last season, which made his strong finish all the more impressive. I feel like the game really started to slow down to him towards the end of last year, which was evident by his strong preseason that he had in August. Now, the Bills had one of the best defenses in the NFL last season. Not a lot of people realize that. They return most of the roster on that side of the ball. They really, really get after quarterbacks, forcing them into quick, hasty decisions. Lots of turnovers. Bills were top 10 in the NFL last season in turnovers forced. They just couldn't score. I mean, they just fucking couldn't score offensively. I'm not sold yet on Josh Allen as a long-term starter in this league. Now, he had several highlight plays last year. Several games where he kind of just took over in the fourth quarter with his leg. Mostly from broken down plays. To me, that's not a recipe for long-term success in the NFL. You know, just ask RG3 about that. However, Josh Allen does have a great arm, but my biggest worry with him coming into this season is the lack of talent around him when compared with other quarterbacks in the NFL and the receivers and tight ends that they have. Now, Buffalo's won 6 of the last 10 meetings against the Jets. They're 10-4 against the spread the last 14 season openers. So Buffalo is one of those teams that start the season strong, mainly on the back of a good defense. The dog in this series has been dominant. 7-1 against the spread in the last 8 meetings. Add to that, the Jets are 1-6 against the line the last 7 versus the AFC East, and 0-4-1 against the line the last 5 home games. So the Jets do not cover at home. I believe the Buffalo defense is going to keep this game close. I think Josh Allen does just enough to keep them within the 3 points. This line drops to 2.5. I would take the Jets. But at 3 points, I'm going to take the Bills. So taking Buffalo plus 3. Next game, Tennessee Titans at Cleveland Browns. Cleveland minus 5.5. This is my favorite fucking play of the weekend. For the first time, possibly ever, I know for the first time in my lifetime, there is immense hype surrounding the Cleveland Browns entering this season. We all know why. Odell Beckham's now in Cleveland. Baker Mayfield had a pretty good year last year as a rookie, as a polarizing quarterback, one of the most polarizing in the league in his second year. Makes his presence felt on social media and traditional media. He has beef with Colin Cowherd. Lots of chatter from other players in the Browns locker room. To me, that's all a recipe for disaster. These high expectations bring new pressure to an organization that really isn't used to dealing with pressure. Now, don't get me wrong, the Browns are extremely talented. There's no doubt about it. But Tennessee is not a pushover. The Titans are stout defensively, have been the last two or three seasons. One of the most physical teams in the NFL in the trenches. They love to pound the ball, which was a weakness for the Browns last season. Now, Cleveland expects to be better defensively. New defensive coordinator Steve Wilks is implementing a nickel scheme. Pro Football Focus actually ranks the Browns with the third best pass rush in the NFL entering the 2019 season. Going to be interested to see how that works out. I feel like Tennessee will grind the clock out in this game. They're going to limit the attempts by Marcus Mariota. Like the Bills, the Titans are strong starters in September. 5-1 against the spread of the last six September games. They're also a phenomenal team to bet as an underdog, covering 10 of their last 15 when the line is 3 points or more. Now, like I said, I realize the Browns are talented, could be explosive offensively, but at the end of the day, this is still the fucking Cleveland Browns we're talking about here. I can't lay this much chalk until they prove something to me. I feel like Tennessee controls the clock in this game, keeps it within a field goal or less. I wouldn't be surprised to see this line drop to 4 points by Sunday morning. I'm going to jump on it early, take the Titans plus 5.5. Next game, Indianapolis traveling out to Los Angeles to play the Chargers. Current line, Chargers minus 6.5. Obviously, the biggest story of the offseason in Indy was the abrupt retirement of Andrew Luck. I think the Colts were a definitive playoff team with Luck under center. Now, I think they're staring down the barrel of a 6-10, 7-9 season. I've made it known before on this podcast, I'm not a believer in Jacoby Brissett. He was atrocious in 2017. He didn't play much during the preseason. Obviously, he played none last season. I think he's coming into this game. I think he's going to be extremely rusty, and he's going up against a strong Chargers defense. Joey Bosa is a star in this league. And then LA goes and picks up Thomas Davis from Carolina, one of the more physical players in the NFL. The Chargers are going to be pressuring Brissett all day long. The weakness in this Colts defense is the secondary. Now, the safeties are pretty good. Corners are going to struggle early on, I feel like, which is a recipe for disaster when you're facing one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. Phillip Rivers, top 5, top 10 quarterback in this league. I feel like he's going to decimate this Colts secondary. Now, the absence of Melvin Gordon, I think, is going to hurt LA early on. And I think this game's going to stay close through three quarters. But I feel like Phillip Rivers is going to pull away late. Chargers going to get the cover. Taking the Chargers minus 6.5. Last game of the weekend that I'm going to take. Got Pittsburgh going into Foxborough to face the Patriots. Current lines, New England minus 5.5. Now, the poster child in the NFL of teams starting slow resides in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The New England Patriots struggle the first 4 weeks every year. Every season coming out of September, all we hear about is the fall of Tom Brady. Tom Brady's lost it. Then he ends up going on a huge run the last 12 weeks of the year. Obviously, Patriots in the playoffs every year. Past two seasons, New England is 4-4 in the month of September. Hell, last year they got smoked by Jacksonville and Detroit in back-to-back weeks to open the season. Now, unlike last season in Pittsburgh, there's no drama. We haven't really heard a peep out of the Steelers this offseason or training camp. Big Ben has a fully healthy roster entering the season. James Conner's was one of the surprise stories last season. You know, Le'Veon Bell sat out. Pittsburgh, kind of unclear what they were going to do at running back. James Conner came in and just took over. Juju Smith-Schuster and Big Ben, they don't have to worry about appeasing Antonio Brown this season, which was a problem last year. Now, the Steelers' offense was explosive last season. I think they will be again this year. This is a make-or-break season for Mike Tomlin. I mean, he almost got fired at the end of last year. The Rooneys are keeping him on for one more year, see how it's going to work out with Le'Veon Bell and Brown out of the picture. I feel like Tomlin and Big Ben are going to right the ship this year. I think the Steelers are the favorite to win that division. Big Ben is money as a road dog when the spread is 6 or more points. He's only been a road dog like this 7 times over the past 10 years. 4-2-1 against the line. Now, I know the line right now is 5.5. I get it. This game opened at 6. And I'm going to buy the hook back up to 6. So I'm going to take Pittsburgh plus 6 in this game. So just a little recap. Taking the Bills plus 3. Tennessee plus 5.5. Going to take Carolina plus 3. Chargers minus 6.5. Pittsburgh plus 6. If you don't see a trend here, I'm a dog better in the NFL. Love my underdogs in the NFL, especially the home dogs. All right, guys, that's all for today. Let's make some money this weekend. We got our college bets today. We got our NFL bets tomorrow. I will see you guys on Tuesday.